Here. And it's good to have each of you that are joined with us. this morning through the internet and wherever you might be throughout the body of Christ around the world, we're glad to have you with us in this gathering. I'm trying to think. We didn't have a service here, did we? But we did have a session on the internet. Well, good, I'm right on that then. I was thinking about that yesterday, and I thought that's the way it all went, because I'm going to repeat what I said on the internet last week for you who are here and for you who are with us by internet, because it never gets said, the same thing is said, it just never gets said the same way. With me, it doesn't. And that's the reason I can say the same thing wherever I go. I just never say it the same way. There's the enormity of this gospel and the inexhaustiveness of Christ. He just simply cannot be exhausted. Means that you could declare the reality of the salvation that God revealed in Paul, and that Paul spent the rest of his life declaring all over the known world. And I know that most of you have probably read all of his epistles, maybe a multitude of times. Then you should have noticed that though he says the same thing in every epistle, he never says it in the same way exactly. And yet it's always Christ, and it is always that which is given by the Holy Spirit, because it's a living word. A living word. Although I can set, as I'm going to do this morning, and speak out from study manuals that we have here, and sometimes just read it. It makes no difference how many times I read this. I never read it the same way. I'm always putting notes to it, because it is always enlarging. It's always enlarging in my mind and in my heart, and there's a clarity that is always coming. Always. I don't ever remember when that wasn't happening. Years and years. But it is good to have you with us today, just to have you with us in this gathering. And I know several groups that will be watching. Some are watching now. Some will be watching later on in the day. And it's just good to be gathered with you in that way. May the Lord just richly bless you. I want to begin to make an announcement with regard to with regard to our ministry and programming here. And I want to remind you and begin to talk about the conference that will be coming up here in June. Now, that is the last full week of June. And no doubt it will soon be on our website as well, where you can check it out there. We did that last year. But I'd like to just begin to announce that time that we will be having together here this coming June, the last week of June. And we will be talking about it. We've had a number of contacts in different ways, by the phone, by emails, letters, and so forth. And some, you know, with questions, but all of them have been with a real hungry heart to know the Lord. And just the other day, I had such a phone call, in fact, two. And the other day being probably 3 or 4 days ago. And it just dawned on me that most of what the conversations were about was something that gathering together here for several days in this word would certainly be an answer to. So I'm going to just begin to invite you who watch these sessions, not only the Sunday morning session, or listen to them on podcasts of one kind or another, why not begin to make plans to just come and spend some time with us this coming June, where we can talk face to face, where you can sit in these sessions, but not just that, where you can have fellowship in that reality of Christ, which the Spirit of God continues to reveal and make known. So I invite you to give some thought to that. It's the last week of June. Begin to make plans now. We would love to have you with us. No doubt some of the sessions that we have, because we have from actually starting on Monday night, but that's with just kind of a fellowship gathering and a gathering of those that have come in and on Monday night. But all of the sessions begin on Tuesday morning and go all the way through noon on Friday. So there's a lot of sessions. And there's also time there that we can have and have had before open forum type gatherings. Not where you just ask a question, but where you can share what the Lord is doing in your heart. And if you do have a question, you can ask that as well. And we're able to just, you know, face to face discuss these things. It's a time set aside a week long for those who have a real heart and a desire to know Christ in a way that perhaps they do not know Him, or we do not know Him now. And I can say we, because I'm right there with you, right there with you. If we are growing at all, then it is an ever ongoing knowledge of Christ, because that's what spiritual growth is all about. And it isn't the knowledge that we acquire by some way or means, but it is a knowledge, understanding that is birthed in the believer by the Spirit of God as that believer sets their very affection upon knowing Christ. And we try to create here continually, but most particularly during those conference times, an environment that is absolute in its conduciveness to the knowing of Christ. So I'm going to continue to talk about the June conference from now until the time of the June conference. And please let us know. Think about it. And then if you can come and we can help you with that coming in any way, please let us know. So that is, we set aside that week for we set aside that week for our fellowship one with another in that word. And we just invite you to come and be with us during that time. We will be giving more information on that on our website, but I want to start talking about it now. And as I said, it struck me while I was talking with two different people the other day that hit me. My, I wish they could be. And I told one of them, I said, I wish we could just be sitting together and not just talking on the phone. And then I mentioned that conference. I said, and there is a time coming when we can actually be doing that. And I thought, well, that would be good for a lot of folks, maybe everyone, to make it a point for this gathering. So you let the Lord direct you and guide you. And we are inviting you. Amen. All right, I want to continue today. We've been talking about the reality, the reality of being in Christ. Talking about our union with Him, which is a threefold union, not three unions. A threefold union, one union. Jesus speaks of that. And He actually gives us the basis of that. The basis of it. John 14, verse 20, He's talked about it. And then He just becomes real specific about it in verse 20, in His statement that He is making there. It gathers up several verses, but in verse 20 He says, and in that day you shall know. And it doesn't really say you shall know that I am. He says you shall know. I am in my Father. You are in me, I am in you. Now I know that I've said this 1,000 times in the last few months in different meetings, different formats, this Sunday morning being one of those formats. And I could say it 1,000 more times and still realize that the greatness of what Jesus says there and the greatness of what we read and the greatness of is far beyond my ability to comprehend. But each time I read that verse, there's something that just I don't know. There's something that is just tremendous. Something that is just renewing in my very soul. A reality. A daily, hourly, moment by moment, eternal reality of our union with Him that so many of the Lord's people are very much unaware of. It a reality that very much does not govern. A reality that has been replaced by a natural understanding, which has basically reduced salvation to a religion. Now, real salvation cannot be in and of itself and of its substance reduced at all. But in understanding, becoming something we do like little tin soldiers or little ceremonies or big ceremonies, whatever. The thing we do, so many Christians do, even in the smugness of doing it. And I've been reading a lot in the book of John and in Luke. I've been reading a lot concerning the Lord in the face-to-face encounters He had with that smugness, with that wrapping the robe around them smugness every day. Every day. And they're talking to the eternal Son of God come in flesh, and there they are trying to instruct Him. Or they're there trying to catch Him in the stupidity of their questions. Have you read that? I mean, how many times do you spend that much time in the Gospels and just sit down and read one of them? Doesn't take that long at all. And you'll notice that. And then the sad thing is you'll notice it in religion today. Same thing. Same thing. Life stood in their midst, and they embraced their religion instead of Him. And yet, true salvation is a divine union. No, we don't become divinity, you know better than that. But it's a divine union in that it is a union by, of, in the Spirit of God. Christ in you. Well, so that I don't run out of time, let me just put this. I'll put that over there. I was going to read out of it. Well, I'll read something out of it. There's a lot of questions with regard to our living in Christ and Christ being our life. And I've heard, you know, we all, it's not a bad question. What does that mean? What does that mean? In fact, someone asked me just the other day, what does that really mean? And I was reading one of these study manuals, and it's with regard a lot to what Paul is saying. And in the, one of the headings here is living by Christ, living in us. And I read this on the lesson that went out last week because it's really impressed me. Living by Christ, living in us. How do we live by Christ? We live by Christ living in us. I'm going to say it enough until it dawns on everyone what I'm trying to say. Living by Christ, living in us. How do we live by Christ? Let me say it this way. How do we live by Christ? By Christ living in us. See, it's not me trying, it's not me doing something at all. It is me having life, and it is me living by that life, but living by Christ is Christ living in us. Living by Christ, living in us. It's exactly what Paul says. He says it a different way when he says, I'll do the whole thing. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Now that's not Christ living for me while I sit down and watch. Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, when I get up every morning, when I go to bed every night, whatever I'm doing, Paul could have said, while I'm going from town to town, while I'm making tents, while I'm on a boat in the middle of the storm, while I'm going all over the known world, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, that is, by the knowledge of the Son of God. I live knowing Christ liveth in me. I live knowing I have no life but the life who liveth in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live knowing what I have just said. I live knowing that life that I have is not about me living, it's about Him living in me. He's the life that I have. And the life is actually the Spirit of Christ living in me, quickening my soul. Quickening my soul. Quickening my soul. Giving my soul purpose. Purpose for existing. Purpose for existing. Because, hon, we're all souls. I mean, we've got some bodies. The bodies are going to die. That leaves you as being a soul. Paul says, I am finding the purpose of my existence as a soul. Why God created it and why God then redeemed a soul. That it might have life. But who is the life? Who is the life? Living by Christ, living in us. That's the way it works. I don't know how many times I've read this study manual, but that's the first time I noticed that headline there over a particular section here. And it really hit me strongly. Living by Christ, living in us. That's what we're occupied with. No matter what we're doing, you do a lot of things. Do a lot of things. But you see, life is not gathered up or even defined in what we're doing. I mean, life is more than me sitting here on a stool or standing up behind it. You understand? I find purpose for what I'm doing in that life. Whatever, anything I'm doing. You know, I mean, I could be an electrician working on a high line. I could be work in the oil fields. I could be a mechanic. I could be a carpenter. I could be a businessman. I could be a preacher. And finding no purpose in any of that. Finding purpose in the life of my soul. And therefore, wherever I'm found doing those things, I will be there in purpose. Not in the purpose found in those things, but in the purpose found in Him, who is my life. I mean, sometimes during the 24-hour day or 365 days in a year, I probably won't be doing that thing. I mean, I may be asleep sometimes. You understand what I'm saying? But I'll never be outside of life. I'll never be not living. And it is in the life that Christ is that I find purpose. Consequently, I'm never without purpose. Sitting right here on this stool, I'm sitting in purpose. You mean, Brother Lumen, the purpose of God is that you sit on a stool? No, love you. No, 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 no. I find purpose in living by Christ living in us. I find purpose in Him. I find purpose in life, L-I-F-E, life, not the activities of my day, but in life. And we, if we find that purpose in Him and are aware that we are in Him, like Paul was. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live in that understanding. I live knowing what I just told you. And if that be the case, then wherever you are and whatever you're doing, you're going to be exhibiting that reality. You're going to be exhibiting. That reality is going to govern you. But it governs you, honey, if it's true with you. And if you are coming to realize that by the Spirit of God, then it becomes a governing thing. A governing thing. Something that governs. Something that governs. It governs from within out. Okay, there's that, and I'm now with regard to our being in Christ, and everything that I've been saying this morning is living in Christ. That is living in union with Christ by virtue of Christ living in me. My soul growing in the understanding of that union. That union becoming experiential. Experiential. Every day. Every day. In the Father's view, He has brought all things from hope, the hope that was set forth in the Old Covenant and that we read about in the Old Testament. He has brought things from hope to substance. He has brought things from prophecy and promise to fulfillment in Christ, and His desire is now to reveal, to open up, to show something that is there, something that is done, something that is in reality, not to make another promise about it. We've got the promises about it. But His desire in salvation is to just show it to you, to reveal in you and in me the fullness of that substance. The fullness of that substance. He's brought us from things that could not be seen . He has brought us from things that could not be seen, things that could not be with the natural ear heard, the types and the shadows, but that thought brought us from things that could not be seen to the very reality of those things, to the very evidence of those things in Christ, where those very things can now be seen by the Spirit of God who reveals all things, yea, even the deep things of God. He has brought us to that kind of a reality in Christ. The Spirit reveals all things, yea, the deep things of God, Paul says. And unfortunately, we still have believers. 2 weeks ago, I talked to a gentleman that was I'm not making these things up. And it was right here. It was right here. And I don't know how long ago that was written or that was said and then recorded and then printed. Because it's just true, hon. So much so in our church world. We've got believers in true believers in the world, in the church world, so therefore in the world, still living in the same hope, in the same expectation of the old covenant saints, believing that the new covenant place doesn't exist, but one day it's going to exist. What new covenant place? The place of being in Christ. Being quickened together, raised together, seated together in heaven, in Christ. Exactly what the promises of God was all about. But still looking forward, still in that state. That's what their hope is. I had a preacher, I don't know, let's say 8-10 years ago. Right here in this area. Who made a point of approaching me one day in a service station and telling me that I was taking away the hope of the church. And I looked at him without being catty or smart alecky or any of that kind of stuff. I looked at him and I said, "Brother, I am declaring to you and to anybody else that wants to listen, the hope that is now living in the church, and it's Christ." And he didn't argue. He didn't say a thing. He just went on about his business. Still looking for Christ to come. When he's in you, he has come. He did come. He has come. He is come. And he lives in you. And in him, all things of God, given of God, all those things have found their substance in him. Whatever it has been. I mean whatever. Talking to a brother 3 days ago, I wrote it down here somewhere. It's gone on what are the all things? Brother Lima, what are the all things? Well, that's a question you can't answer in a statement. But it brings it into some kind of a understanding by saying the things that are given of God, things that are promised of God, things that were spoken of God, things that are given of God. You can quote Ephesians 1, verse 9 and 10, gather together all things in one, in Christ, summing up. Well, honey, it has to do with the all things of our salvation. It has to do with all things that are spiritual. It has to do with all things promised of God, all things typed and shadowed of God. It has to do, you know, with everything relating to God's purpose for our soul. All things. In those things you will find joy and peace and love. You will find wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You will find the glory of God. You will find redemption, salvation, all things. He has He has given all of that in the person of His Son. Would you have joy? Behold, the joy of the Lord. And he shows you the Son. Now, it's not wrong, hon, for you and I to have hilarity. But hilarity comes and goes. Joy remains. That's part of the all things that are gathered in Christ. Why? 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 Because then it becomes part of life. Because Christ lives in me and in you. He is that life. So it's all gathered up in the life that God has given us. In the life that God has given us to experience. To experience inwardly, to exhibit, well, all right, outwardly, exhibit in what I'm doing, or I'm going, or I'm setting, or I'm found, exhibit it. You don't have to, it's not hilarity, it's something else much more real than hilarity, which comes and goes. Nothing wrong with it. Joy. So in the Father's view, he has brought all things together. Unfortunately, in so much of the church world, believers don't see themselves in Christ. They see themselves as captives in this world looking for a way to get out and still waiting for God to fulfill His promise, but He's already fulfilled it in His Son. Now see, when I say that, I know what people hear. They hear me say that, and they say, oh, well, yes, in His Son, and His Son's gone. His Son will, He'll come one day and make all these things true. They're all true now. But we're trying to find them in the natural rather than finding it with the eyes of our heart and understanding enlightened and the Father revealing Him, opening our blind eyes and showing us Him where? Right where He is, in you. That's the thing. People will hear me say what I just now got through saying, but not in an understanding or in a view that that Son is in you. Literally, virtually, spiritually in you. Your life. And that you are in Him. Well, since it is an eternal place, a spiritual reality, then it is something that you cannot pick up like I'm picking up this thing and put it down. No. No. That's because He's not sitting in a chair down here in front of my natural eyes. He's living in my soul. Not a thought of Him, not a doctrine about Him, not a precept and a principle of Him. No. The very Spirit of Christ. Christ by His Spirit. Living in my soul right now. And my soul living in union with and by Him. Life liveth in me. And the life who liveth in me is the eternal life of God. The Son Himself. The Son Himself. I stop and read every now and then, hon, because I don't, maybe there's a better way to say this. But it's Christ. He's already fulfilled it in His Son. But the Son is not far away. The Son is in you, and you're in Him. That land that everybody preaches, far, far, far away, there was a time that it was far away, and that's the time that Abraham saw it. But it's not far away now. It is in Christ. Right where God promised it would be. And it is. Darling, Paul never says anything other than that. That's the gospel he preaches. That's why the Jews wanted to kill him. He's fulfilled it in His Son. Exodus 15:17 is fulfilled in His Son. You can read Exodus 15:17. It talks about our dwelling place. They didn't get out of Egypt good. In fact, their real deliverance from Egypt, and there was a literal deliverance, and there is in our lives, son, time and time and time, literal deliverance from a literal thing. Yes. But even in that case, that deliverance is perfect, not because it was literal, but because you find the purpose of it in Christ, who is spiritual. Because the one comes and goes, the reality of it doesn't. So they were coming out of Egypt, being delivered from. And the Lord says about later on, He says, I delivered them, I did this, I did that. That's true. But they never saw the greatness of what He did. He delivered them. And Paul brings it right into you and I, because he's looking at that, and now he's talking to the believer about it in Christ when he says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. By translation, that's the way it reads, and that's what it means. By translation into the kingdom of His dear Son. Oh my, see, that's not just getting out of one. That's being out of the one by being in the other. And that's the greater deliverance. That deliverance is a translation. A spiritual, eternal work of God. You understand now what I'm talking about? Because He certainly does the one, just like he heals the natural body. I've experienced that. I'm sure most of you have experienced that. I mean, that, yes, absolutely. But there's a greater healing, darling, and the actual greater healing talking about, like by His stripes we are healed, the greater healing is the healing of our blindness, the healing of our deafness. How does He do that? He does it in Himself. He doesn't heal our natural sight and make it better. He opens the eyes of our understanding in spiritual sight that we never had before. And yet he heals natural eyes too. The Lord does that. And His deliverance can be seen in natural things as well. But I'm just telling you, hon, that comes and goes. And probably will come more than go unless you experience the translation into the kingdom of His dear Son. For that from which you are delivered is not found. I keep bringing this back because I'm talking about our union with Christ. Our union with Christ. Let me see that sign again. Uh-huh. Okay, thanks, my friend. Both you guys back there? Brother Jimmy Collins, Brother Bird, is running the cameras today. Well, unless they're sitting here, they're going to be there running the cameras. But these services are brought to you by joint effort. by joint effort. All right. I don't know. I sat down here up here all, a good while yesterday looking at this, and I finally got to right here where it says part two, one, all are become one. And we've never made it there yet, but that's all right. Because it doesn't need to be a lesson. It needs to be a reality. So I've got 10 minutes. I'm going to read that part of it. Because I'm going back over here, things that I've dealt with before, but like I say, there's always a greater reality and a greater clarity that comes. So what are we talking about? In Son. All things fulfilled in Son, one Son, and that Son dwelling in us, and consequently then we are His body. We begin to deal with what actually is the reality of salvation. It is the reality of being in union with Christ. And that's everything, implying everything that that union is about. His union with the Father, our being in Him, His being in us. The reality of our salvation is found in our union with Christ. The goal toward which we are going is not only the realizing of being in Christ, but the realization that comes with that. And part of that realization that comes with that is that we are not many, but one. We spoke on a diagram, that's been months ago, of being in Christ and having circles there as believers, but when we really come down to a comprehension of being in Christ, the circles have to all be erased and they all disappear. Why? Because the focus of the body and the focus of being in Christ is not on the members, but on just one body. I opened with the statement that the corporate view of salvation, the view that many are one, the view that in Christ it is not many but one that prevails, the corporate view of salvation is the view that Paul sets forth with regard to the body. And you really can't understand salvation from the standpoint of individualism. Though our salvation is very individual to each of our hearts and each of our souls. That is true. That is true. But it's not about me. It's not about me and mine. It's not about me. It's about Him. And it only even includes me if I am in Him and He is in me. But immediately then, it's what Paul says it is. Not I, but Christ who liveth in me. So we want to get this idea. You know, salvation is all about me. Me and Jesus, we've got our own thing going. I don't need anybody else. I mean, and all of that. Well, okay, fine. But as many of you as are in Christ are His body. And there's no one member of that body that can look at another member and say, I don't need you. The hand cannot say that to the foot. The eye cannot say that to the ear. And on and on and on I could go, because Paul outlines that. I don't need you. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. But that's not what it's about at all. And I can't stay here with it forever. You cannot understand salvation from the standpoint of individualism, because salvation is not self-centered. It's not me-centered. It's Christ-centered. It's not about me and mine. It's about Him and His. Now, we have a part in that, but not as me and mine. Well, our part is Him and His. In other words, He's the great pronoun there, as well as the noun. Not me. That which is me is swallowed up in that reality that is Him, and that which is mine is swallowed up in the reality of that which is His. And you read Ephesians, darling. Read that epistle. And just look at He, Him, His. Hon, that's, you know what I see when I see all of that? It's like that you and I are just wrapped up in, clothed up on in, brought right in to Him. And who, really seeing that by the Spirit of God, would be so ignorant as to say, no, I want that to be about me. And mine. But sometimes that's the idea we get. Now, how personal is salvation? How personal is salvation? Because if you think I'm saying it's not personal, you're wrong. So how personal is salvation? Well, darling, it is just this personal. Christ in you. What I'm telling you is that same Christ is in me, making you and me one body, because we are the body of one man, one son. Be careful before you start chopping off one of His fingers. Be careful. How you receive or don't receive one of His members. The face of the head. We're going to come back over this, because it's next in line here. In the natural, if I stood in front of a mirror and looked at myself, to what would I look for the identification of my body? Would I look at my hand or a finger or a foot? Or would I look in the face of the head? Because it is the head, it is the face that gives full identity to the whole body. None of its parts. Every part finds its identity in relationship to the head. Now, this Paul emphasizes in his letter to the Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, he makes the statement, God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. In our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our identifying with one another is in Him. It is not in one another. The hand doesn't really identify with the hand. The foot doesn't really identify with the foot. No, the hand or the foot, in order to work together or have any comprehension one of another, must identify with the head. That's where we understand that we're one body. And there's no other way to do it. In fact, an examination of the members will only increase the separation. Now, that's true, and the church world today is notorious for setting up standards whereby we examine one another. Do we all dress alike? Do we all look alike? And on that goes. These are standards whereby we identify one with another. You can throw a whole bunch more in here. They create new ones every day. But the identification that God brings is with His Son. The focusing, I mean God focusing by His Spirit, our heart, upon the face of His Son. And I can't emphasize that too much. We're talking about being in Christ. And that reality as a reality is something that is revealed of God by His Spirit. Because there's no way we can just look at each other and understand that. When we see Him, darling, I will promise you, we will look differently at each other. And it just kills me. It's like being stabbed through the heart to see that the majority of our church world knows nothing of this reality. And yet they'll sing their heart outs about one day we'll all be, you know, here we go, somewhere having a big love feast. Hate each other's guts now, but one day we'll walk on streets. And here it goes. I hear that, hon, and it just makes me sick. Not mad, not wanna, just sick in my heart. Because there's real believers caught up in that system. And have no understanding of the reality of their salvation at all. But what of us who say we do? Well, we can't find it by looking at each other either. Now, when I say looking at each other, I'm not talking about seeing or sitting here in this room. Through our identification with Him, that's the way it works, honey. That's the way it works. So, I'm not going to just keep on now. Our time's all up. But actually, here's where I wanted to come here with this. All are become one. And that is the thing that the me and my, you know, as long as it doesn't affect me and mine. All this kind of stuff. Me and mine just. But God love our heart. God love my heart, your heart. It's the me and mine He took to the cross and suffered the death of it, that we may be brought to a reality of Him, into a reality of Him, and that become a reality of Him in us. So may the Lord just deal with our hearts. And like I say, I didn't sit down to write this yesterday, darling. I started teaching on this being in Christ months ago. It's just taken us a long time to get very far into it. There's a lot to be said. Amen. Amen. Folks, thank you for being with us. Those, of course, that are here and that are here in this auditorium, that are with the children and the young people this morning, and all that's going on here. It's just good to be with you. If we are with you through the live streaming here, or if we're with you through the recording of this, but if we're with you in your living room, it's good to be here with you in your living room. And we love you and invite you to be with us. And listen, if we can help you or be of a greater help or an outreach or anything to you, please do not hesitate to let us know. And thank each of you. Thank you. Thank you to each of you whom the Lord has directed, and you have extended. Support to us, to CMI, for the outreach of this gospel. Thank you. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your offerings. Thank you for your support. I assure you, it is through that we are able to do exactly what you're watching right now. Because it involves a great deal. I said a while ago, you know, it takes several to get this on the air. I mean, you know, you see me sitting here, and when one of the other brethren are here, you see them sitting here, but you don't see the same brethren. That are sitting here teaching, in many cases, same ones that are making it possible for you to see me right now. You don't see that, but they're there nonetheless. And it's the same thing. There's a lot involved in getting this gospel out of this building. And I'm not just talking about a few dollars. There's a lot involved. In expenses, in equipment. And on that goes. And I appreciate those who help us maintain that that we can have the quality of our outreach programs that we have. All I can do is thank you for it and appreciate you very much. So, you're giving then to CMI, because CMI, it's not something written down on paper. It isn't carved in the walls of these buildings around here. It's a function of the body of Jesus Christ sharing this gospel throughout that same body and around the world. Now, that's what we're about. And I thank you for helping us. May the Lord bless. Amen. Thank you.